Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/tiktokads, and grow your business fast.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
Spotlight Connecticut with Morgan Cunningham. Embracing what's fun with Connecticut on WTIC News Talk 1080.
Happy Saturday, everybody. I'm Morgan Cunningham with you. And this week we are going to be talking with an undercover cop who's now retired and has taken his experiences and turned it into not one, but two books that I think may inspire another generation of policing, and if nothing more, is a tremendous read, and it's local. Okay, we're talking about a former East Hartford police officer, so it doesn't get any better than that. But before we get into the show today, we've got to talk about our Spotlight Connecticut headlines. The Manchester Road Race commits to supporting the Lutz Children's Museum in Manchester. In order to support the cause, race officials set aside 120 bibs for entrants who choose to be in the Honors Club. These runners pay $100 per bib instead of the regular entry fee. Then what happens is the Road Race Committee will donate money to the Lutz Children's Museum that comes from those 100 bibs. Now, details on how to sign up for the 88th running of the Manchester Road Race at 10 in the morning on Thanksgiving Thursday will be coming out on September 1st. And believe me, it will be September 1st before you know it, and it will be Thanksgiving morning before you know it. WTIC is always there at the Manchester Road Race. We'll be there again this year. I plan to be there. It's going to be a great time. And the money goes to a great cause, not just those specialty bibs, but every penny of that road race goes to something good. And we'll tell you all about it on Thanksgiving Thursday morning. And like I said, folks, you know the way that time has been flying these days. It'll be here before you know it. Western Connecticut State University is now offering a master's degree in artificial intelligence. I talked about this the other day on Brian and Company, our morning show. The university says that this new program anticipates a wave of job opportunities that are going to be blossoming in this particular industry in tech in the years to come. It's already blossoming and everybody's talking about it, and it's growing beyond compared to anything that's grown in recent years. We all know that, but it's going to only grow more and more and more. And you're going to need the skills in order to compete, maybe even to program AI. I don't know. And that's what this program is all about. So to qualify, you must have a combination of mathematics and computer science courses or degrees in one or both of those. If you have that under your belts, you'll have a chance at being accepted into the program. For more information on what it all entails and what you may need in order to get into the program, it's brand new, go to wcsu.edu. That's Western Connecticut State University, the new master's degree program that they're going to be offering in artificial intelligence, and that's coming up this fall. They're going to start enrolling students for this fall. So go to wcsu.edu if that interests you. I want to talk about something that happened in the news the other day, and it inspired me a bit. Sometimes when stories happen in the news, you may feel some inspiration. This definitely happened for me. At the state capitol on Friday, Dwight Freeney Day, State Representative Bobby Gibson hosted the ceremony at the state capitol for the Bloomfield native who recently was inducted into the NFL Hall of Fame. What really stood out to me was how during the ceremony, Dwight paid tribute to his hometown. This is definitely true of me. This is probably true of most, if not everybody in the audience, that you move on from your hometown. Life moves on. You meet new people. You have a job. And things can change. All of that changes. But you still will feel a sense of community with your hometown. Maybe you don't miss certain aspects of it. Maybe you're glad to get out of your hometown. Maybe you're happy to be elsewhere in the world and doing something new and something different, something grander perhaps, and hopefully. But there's that sense of community, that first sense of community that you feel in life that does still stand with you. During his remarks, Dwight thanked his teachers from Bloomfield. It's true, teachers can really make a difference, for better or for worse. And the reason this really hits home for me this particular week was because just last Sunday, I connected with a family member of an inspirational teacher from my life. Her name was Lori Bono. She passed away 4 years ago unexpectedly. At times, it feels like it was just yesterday. At times, it feels like it was so, so long ago. It was during the COVID-19 shutdowns, and we had a public memorial for her outside. I spoke there. It was video recorded. It was sent to her family. But I never had an opportunity to say goodbye to her family in person. I got a card from them. But basically, life moved on. I moved on. They moved on. Still in our hearts, for sure, Lori is. We don't forget her, and I'm not trying to minimize that. But I just realized not too long ago that she has been on my mind at times over the last few years because she was more than just a teacher. She was a mentor, and that's different, okay? Anybody could teach. Any teacher could go through the motions, but she truly was a mentor, and not just academically, but personally. And just to say that she took me from low-level English, the second lowest level, to advanced placement in 4 years. Obviously, she was my ninth grade teacher, but mentored me all throughout high school. Look at my career now. I needed that in order to succeed the way that I have been able to in my career, and she helped me with that. I had two classmates who died in my senior year, and she put all of that into a different and healthier perspective for me. It was kind of like therapy, but not officially therapy, but she was a big help. After graduation, we kept in touch. She helped my family in a time of need. She pushed me along in my earliest broadcasting career days. So teachers really make a difference. And I'm happy to say that just this past week, I was able to connect with somebody in her family, and I'm looking forward to reconnecting with them after all of this time. So it is truly incredible that Dwight Freeney made those remarks this past week. I resonated with them so beautifully, it's true, when I heard them. Now our matchmaking update. Jill Dunn of Jillin' It, she's been a past guest on Spotlight Connecticut. She wants to know if you're a match for this scenario. We've been doing this now the last few weeks and with success. You see, it's hard to meet people these days. It really is. Hard to make a friend, let alone, you know, get a romantic partner or getting married and all of those things. And I want to try to help other people who may have been struggling with that or don't know where to turn. So that's where Jill comes in with Jillin' It Matchmaking Services. So she has an accomplished and impressive client. This comes from her weekly newsletter, by the way. The first initial for this lady, she's 66, is J. And she's described as brilliant and dynamic, complemented by a fun, spunky, grounded nature. I love this description that Jill sent me. She values life's simple pleasures, a good laugh, maybe a glass of scotch. Ooh, I love that stuff. Anyway, she also enjoys time with friends, a love of travel, and animals too. She's looking for a man who is 65 or older, who is just the picture of well-being, who's constantly evolving, exhibits compassion. He's poised, he's confident, a man of conviction, and yet open-minded to diverse perspectives. Mature, loyal, yes. Kind, accomplished, physically and mentally healthy, and financially sound. So if you think that that is a match for you, you want to reach out to Jill of Jillinet. hello@jillinet.com. Again, I do this as a service. It is hard to meet folks out there these days. Everybody's on their phones. You can't meet people if you're on your phone. And so that's where Jill comes in. Now, our guest this week on Spotlight Connecticut is author Mark Kelly. I mentioned this at the top of the show. He used to be an undercover cop in East Hartford. Now he's an author. So we're going to be talking about how his time as an undercover cop here in Connecticut inspired not one but two books that he's written. Froggers, A Front Row Seat to Undercover Police Work. That's the latest book. And then there's his first book, which is simply Front Row Seat. So how does that relate to policing in this modern era? How did all of his experiences being undercover inspire those books? We'll find out in a moment.
This is WTIC in Hartford.
Recognizing the best fans on Spotlight Connecticut.
Hi, my name is Sue. I'm listening from Rocky Hill, Connecticut, and I'm listening to Spotlight Connecticut with Morgan Cunningham.
Sue is great. She's one of our big supporters at WTIC and one of my big supporters here on Spotlight Connecticut. Always a pleasure to hear from her. Sometimes I do on social media, and you can find me on social media as well at MC News Talk, Facebook, X formerly known as Twitter, Instagram. Really try to grow my Instagram. So if you're on Instagram, follow me at MC News Talk. Now, my guest on Spotlight Connecticut, as we've talked about this hour and this past week, he is retired East Hartford undercover cop, a patrol sergeant at the time that he retired, Mark Kelly. Mark, welcome to the show. It's a pleasure to have you on.
Hey, good afternoon, Morgan. Thank you for having me.
I'm really happy to have you on the show to talk about your books, Froggers, and also Front Row Seat. Froggers is the most recent one. But before we can talk about the books, I want to talk a little bit about you. And before you were a police officer at any level, you were involved with the Marines. You were in the Marines, correct?
That's correct. I went to Central Connecticut for 3 years. It took me 3 years to figure out that college is not for me. And I joined the Marine Corps and signed up for a six-year hitch. And my MOS, the occupation I had, was amphibious assault vehicle crewman. So I actually drove vehicles that could drive on land and in the ocean. So that was what I did for 6 years. I got a number of awards. I traveled the world. And after 6 years of that, I looked at my friends back here at home, and they were making money. They had what I would call real jobs, and I said, well, I want to get out and try that in the civilian world. So I did that, and I found out that it didn't really fit for me that well. So I didn't really consider being a police officer at the time. Growing up, I didn't know any police officers. But I did see that as a paramilitary organization. I did well in the Marines. So I figured, well, maybe police work would work for me without having to go back into military. So I started testing for local police departments and eventually got hired by East Hartford, and I served there for 21 years.
First of all, I want to thank you for your service in the Marines and also as a police officer. So that's a double whammy. Thank you for serving. I want to point out that your story is interesting because some people, like me, I always knew that I wanted to be involved in radio. I always wanted to be involved in media, so I pursued that. And it's all I've done to my life at this point. I had another job at one point, but I was always involved in this. But some people, they try things, it doesn't work out, or they're not interested, or they want to do something new. And you have gone from college, dropping out of college, to the Marines, to real jobs, to be a police officer. Now you're an author. So you've kind of lived a life in which you have done a lot. And all of those experiences, I'm sure, have shaped the man that you are today, Mark.
Yeah, if you were to talk to me when I was 20, 21, I wouldn't have predicted any of this. I feel you know, luck is on my way a lot of ways, and good decisions a lot of ways. I'm married to a great wife over 30 years, so that's also a great influence. So those things, yeah, you're right. I'm very grateful for my life. I've had a lot of great experiences, and I continue to do that. So, you know, being a Marine and being a police officer was two different sections of my life that I'm proud to have done. I did them both pretty good, and now let's move on to doing other things.
As a police officer and a first-generation police officer, you didn't know anybody else who did that line of work. And a lot of other people, they may know somebody, or maybe their father or their grandfather was an officer, and they want to follow in those footsteps. You're doing something totally new and trailblazing as far as your family's concerned. And so my question to you, Mark, is were you nervous to do that?
Not necessarily nervous. I felt that it'd be a good fit. And so not nervous to kind of go outside the expectations of my family or my parents. I was nervous, and I kind of covered this in the first book, Front Row Seat. Because I didn't have any police experience, I was nervous about, you know, what am I going to see, what am I going to do, what I have to deal with. So, again, it's covered in the first book. You don't know how you're going to deal with some crime scenes. You don't know how you're going to deal with the emotions of people at a crime scene. And if you're in uniform, you're the focal point. You're there to fix things, at least put a Band-Aid on for the moment. And, you know, didn't know if I could do that. And I cover that quite a bit in the first book, Front Row Seat. One of my characters has to deal with a bad scene, and then her training officer towards the end of the book is asking her how she's doing, and you know, how he deals with it, and I personally deal with it. You know, if I can't handle it, if I'm still you know, awake at night, I've got the sweats, or can't shake a thought from my head, I give myself, you know, 3 or 4 days. And if I just felt overwhelmed, then it's time for me to get some help. I think I'm fortunate that I could, as it turned out, I could handle those things. And the more you deal with it, at least I'm not saying it's for everybody, the more you dealt with it, the more you knew what was going to happen next at a given scene. And you developed a certain comfort level with it. So it was my fear in the beginning of, could I handle it? And as it turns out, I could. Not that it wasn't difficult at times, but overall I could.
At one point in your career, you were an undercover cop. So some listeners might be thinking about a movie or a TV show, but I've read other quotes and other things that you have said that the TVs and the movies really don't do it justice, and it's different. So what was your experience as an undercover cop?
Well, yeah, can I keep on going with the conversation? I did 5 years in patrol, and opening came up, and we call it the Vice and Narcotics Units, or VINs for short. So the opening came up, I applied for it, I got accepted into it, and at first it was still kept your normal appearance. They really weren't doing undercover stuff or recruiting informants or that kind of thing. But eventually it was a little bit change in a mission, and I had the opportunity to say, well, I'm going to just get outside my comfort zone here. I'm going to let my hair grow, let my appearance go. I had gone to a few different training schools, so I developed a pretty good technique for recruiting informants or snitches. And my partner and I, Todd, we got pretty good against getting snitches. And snitches are your gravy train to getting cases. And we became quite successful at that. And the thing that you don't get in TVs and the movies, because they're, you know, TVs and movies have actors in them, and we're not actors. We're, you know, in the case of Todd and I, we're middle-class white guys who never did this stuff, never bought drugs in our life. We didn't hang out with those kind of people. And so now you're going to change your personality and go into situations where you are going to deal with those people and hang out with them. So it took a little bit of an emotional, mental leap to emulate the snitches and the down and outers that are out there, so that you could be accepted into the circle of you know, a drug dealer or you know, their group of people that you have to associate with in order to, you know, accomplish your job.
My name is Morgan Cunningham. This is Spotlight Connecticut. And Mark, we're about to go into a break here in a moment. I'm talking with former and retired East Hartford police officer, at one point serving as an undercover cop, a patrol sergeant. He seemed to have done it all, really, I think, or did a lot of it. He's our guest this week on Spotlight Connecticut. And when we get back from the break, we're going to talk more about his books specifically and how some of his experiences inspired those books. Real quick, Mark, if somebody wants to find you online, how can they do it? What's your website and how can people get in touch with you?
The website, of course, is www.acopstory.com. Also, if you go to any outlet such as Amazon or Barnes and
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor, ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
Novel, IndieBound, Books a Million. If you type in my full name, Mark Andrew Kelly, the two books will come up and you can order the books through there. And also the website does have links to the same outlets.
I'm Morgan Cunningham. He's Mark Kelly. And in a moment, we'll continue with him specifically talking about Froggers and also Front Row Seat at his experiences as a cop. Find me on social media at MC News Talk and him online, acopstory.com. The Moody Blues helping us continue this afternoon on Spotlight Connecticut. I'm Morgan Cunningham on WTIC News Talk 1080. Find me on socials. Give me a follow, would you, on Facebook, X, formerly known as Twitter, and also Instagram at MC News Talk. And our guest, retired East Hartford police officer Mark Kelly, is with us. You can find him online by going to acopstory.com. He was once a police officer. Then he took those experiences and made some books about them. Maybe there will be another book at some point, someday. I don't know, but he's got two. And we're going to talk a little bit more in depth about the latest of the two, which is called Froggers. Mark, welcome back to the program.
Hey, thanks.
I want to ask you what's on many people's mind, maybe when they see the cover or they hear me on the radio talking about it. Froggers. What is that? That's a police term, isn't it?
Yeah, a good friend of mine, still working at East Hartford, Sergeant, his name is Bill. I sat down with him a couple years ago at the Marlboro Tavern and said, hey, you know, can you update me on a few things? I've been retired for a few years, and is the fentanyl problem, you know, affecting East Hartford the way it is the rest of the country? And he goes, yeah, we get those calls, and this might be a little abrupt for your listeners, but we get those calls, we call the victims froggers. And I go, why is that? And he goes, well, it's kind of the position their body assumes after they die. And the name stuck in my head, the word stuck in my head, Froggers. And I go, that's going to be the title of the book, because it's something that you're not going to get a police chief to say, your public information officer is not going to say that, but that's what cops say on the street at a crime scene. And that's kind of the point I'm trying to get across in my books. It's real life. It's not Hollywood or, again, a police chief or a politician trying to make it sound good. It's the way it really is. And the feedback that I've gotten from both a lot of my coworkers, current and retired ones, and officers I don't know, they say, you know, this is very true to life. And, you know, thanks for writing it this way, because nobody else has put it together in this manner. So that's where the word Froggers in the title came from.
Are people ever surprised that you're so willing to be honest?
Not really. One of my lady detectives, she read the first book and she said, you know, I forget her exact words, but it was like, you know, you hit the right sweet spot. You're not over the top on some activities and you didn't soft pedal things. You kind of hit the middle mark there, whereas, you know, it's palatable to most people. I'm not giving up any state secrets with the manner in which narcotics investigations go. If you've seen any kind of movie, the general thing, which is true, the good guys try to get infiltrate or understand or get more information from the bad guys, and you do that by associating with the bad guys. So that's what I did, and my counterparts did, and we're overall pretty successful. The street level drug world is very unreliable and unpredictable, so there are many days we go to work with, you know, a full load on the worksheet, and we come up empty handed. Other days we went to work and we were just going from bell to bell, working our tails off. So it's a job where you don't plan your day. The day tells you what's going to happen.
This book, Froggers, that you just published, and it came out in March of this year, it's fiction, but you would say that this is realistic fiction.
It's all true. Obviously, for legal reasons, you don't put the real names of people and places in there. But for every incident that happened in the book, actually did happen. I was talking to a friend of mine a couple weeks ago. He's going, did this really happen? I go, yeah, that, you know, I did that. My partner did that. That was one of the things we had to deal with. And he looked at me kind of like, wow, yes, you know, this does not quite get, it's not made up. This is real. It's what people really do. And, that's the point I'm trying to get across. The Froggers opens up with the intro where I was, accompanying my wife, and she was in the mortgage and banking industry to a convention, and you know, people look at me like, you know, who are you? Because I didn't fit the mold of a banker. And so I started to tell them, and the idea was so foreign to them to have somebody who did this kind of work and what really goes on in certain segments of our society. It was totally foreign to them, and that's when I kind of realized that what I consider kind of normal, many people is beyond their grasp. So that's kind of the reason why I wrote both books, is to get people to really get their feet wet into police work, patrol work in the first book, and undercover and death investigations in the second book, what's really going on behind the scenes.
Mark, could you give us an example of an experience that made it into Froggers, your book?
Yeah, one of them, I thought was fun. I think my partner Todd thought it was fun. Hartford PD actually called us up and they said, hey, we were trying to get a mid-level dealer. He hides his drugs in the ceiling tiles of a neighborhood bar. Can you guys get in there and do something? We don't get any snitches. We want to go in there and get anything, and we can't get any undercovers in there because they all know who we are. So Todd and I are looking pretty scruffy. We roll in there, and we've been briefed who the guy was. The Hartford PD showed us a mugshot. And so a guy walks in the bar, and Todd goes, hey, that's our guy. And I go, yeah, I think you're right. We'll take him down. And I was wearing a wire so that the people outside could hear what's going on. This is before cell phones were what they are now. And then a minute later, a second guy walks in, looks a lot like the first guy. I'm like, well, what do we do now? We got two guys who look like our target.
That's a problem.
That's a problem, yeah. And, you know, we're outside our comfort zone to a degree. It's not our town. We can't call back up as quickly as normal. So we said, well, we'll jump them both. And so Todd got behind one. You know, Callie styled up behind each guy, and I went behind one, and Todd went behind the other. And, you know, Todd gave me a wink and a nod, and we slammed their heads to the counter. We pulled out our guns, put their heads, and said, please don't move. And so the bar went silent, and we got our guns out, pointing at these guys. They're not moving, and the cavalry's not coming through the door. And so we're getting nervous. You don't carry handcuffs. You don't carry radios. You don't carry anything.
I was going to say, you don't have any of that on you.
Yeah, so, you know, the wire should be working, hopefully. And as it turned out, the wire wasn't working, and somebody had the very good thought to walk by the bar as he was going on, and they saw us in a predicament, and they came rushing in. And as it turned out, there was quite a bit of crack cocaine and a loaded gun in the men's room, and Hartford PD was very happy because they couldn't get any other way to get this one particular guy. And we come, you know, hands bed-handed with the goods. So, you know, that was one of those ones that it could have gone bad. It could have gone good, and it went a little bit sideways, but Todd and I figured it out, and it's just another one of many, many seed stories.
Well, I'm glad that worked out for you guys, because obviously a hiccup there could have gone south, but I'm glad that it didn't. What takes me by surprise in that story, I suppose, is the fact that two departments are sharing resources like that, at least these undercover resources, helping one another out.
There's a large amount of that. I covered that again at the beginning of Frogger so people didn't get confused. If I was to put all the characters, both good guys and bad guys, into a novel, it would be very confusing, and that was one of my struggles as a novice writer. But New Britain, Hartford PD, there used to be, and it still is, called North Central Narcotics, and then there was the old Tri-Town Narcotics that covered Manchester and Vernon and South Windsor. So we would often, you know, Mondays we usually meet somewhere during the day, maybe for breakfast, and we'd all, you know, grab a table somewhere and we discuss, you know, who has what going on in this week and who needs a female undercover, who needs a black undercover, who needs, you know, a hippie undercover, who needs this. And we try to get our schedules somewhat loosely put together so we could support each other. So we would be in, you know, again, Hartford to Britain, Bloomfield, Manchester. We'd be all over the place, maybe in our town. And it's as a sworn officer in Connecticut, you can do that. But it's sort of a form of mutual aid that police departments have to, to accomplish these tasks.
Tell you what, Mark, we need to take a quick break. It'll only be a moment, and then we'll continue talking more about Froggers. How can people find you online again, and what's your website? How could they find your book, all of those things?
Again, the website is acopstory.com, and if you go to Amazon, Barnes & Noble, IndieBound, or Books A Million, any of those book retailers, you can look up my full name, Mark Andrew Kelly, and the two books will come up, and you can order them.
I'm Morgan Cunningham at Spotlight Connecticut on WTIC News Talk 1080, and you can find me on socials too. Show me some love there at MC News Talk.
This is WTIC in Hartford.
Morgan Cunningham.
Let's continue Spotlight Connecticut with Morgan Cunningham.
I'm going to ask you a loaded question, Mark. I'm talking with Mark Kelly, retired East Hartford police officer. He was an undercover cop for a while, a patrol sergeant, did it all, as I like to say. And again, thank you for your service, not only in the Marines, but as an officer, Mark. This is a loaded question. There's a morale issue in police departments, not just in Connecticut, but across the country. People who are retiring from the force who feel that they've had it. people who have become disillusioned earlier on and they go into another career, people who don't want to go into policing at all. Then you hear in politics the talk of defund the police. So I'm asking you your perspective as a former officer, someone who's now writing about your experiences and getting that published. What would you say to the issue of morale and getting people into policing? And maybe your books could be some kind of an inspiration to the right person?
Yeah, the first part of the question, the morale, from what I understand, morale did dip talking to people who are still working at East Hartford during, you know, the George Floyd things and all that, which you don't have time to get into that. But anyways, the morale did dip. You know, politicians were saying, don't trust the police, and it became very difficult because there are many situations that I and my coworkers went into. And, you know, you're supposed to trust us to do what's right and get things done. And I can talk about my co-workers at East Hartford, and that happened every time. I mean, some people better than others being a police officer, but nobody's going out of the way to hurt anybody. The problem with morale in hiring people, the complaint that I get from the senior management, who when I was working were junior to me, but now they're senior management, and they're saying, you know, it's hard to get the newer men and women to relate to the people on the street. And the biggest thing that I learned, and I learned from some great guys, I use their last names, but Fran, Hank, Jimmy, Bruce, Todd, Tony L. I mean, these are all senior guys to me when I started. And they all said, Mark, you got to relate to people. You got to get to their level, whether higher or lower than you. You got to understand what they're going through. And now it's harder than ever to get somebody who's in their early 20s, mid-20s, who are hiring as police officers to relate to people, because most of their relations are through text messages or social media. And you're staying in somebody's living room. You're staying in their backyard. You're standing in the middle of the street at an accident, and you have to relate to people. So that's probably the biggest obstacle I think the administrations are finding right now, is to get that through the newer hires, you know, get that into newer hires to understand they have to do that. You just can't walk away.
Does your book play a role in any of that in conveying some truths about policing, maybe making people feel good or more confident about it?
I would say the demographic I shot for when I wrote these books is basically people who are interested in policing as well as law enforcement. So, you know, a law enforcement person to read these books and go, you know, this is it, this is fun to read, this is what's going on. If you're non-law enforcement, if you're like I was 30 years ago, completely unknowing what law enforcement is about, I think if you read particularly the first book, you would know what you're getting yourself into. You're going to handle some stuff that's pretty hard. You're going to see some things that are very funny. Again, that's where I got the title, Front Row Seat. When my field training officer says it's a front row seat to the best show on earth. And it is. I mean, you see the good, the bad, the ugly, the funny. It's all going on at once. And if that's your personality and you do actually want to help people, something, you know, you're serving something other than yourself, that is, you know, police work is great, as well as, you know, firefighters and paramedics. These are all people that I still am great friends with and huge amount of respect for. But I know across the board, even social organizations are having a hard time recruiting people to, you know, stay in or come in and keep these organizations going. So it's a generational thing. Obviously, we do need police. I think the defunded police thing has gone past, and people see it as a big mistake. You can always improve policing. You can improve the criminal justice system. I'm not saying that, you know, is not needed, but there to say, well, we don't need it, I think that was a foolish thing to say and advocate.
Mark, I want to ask you about getting these books published, actually coming forward, seeking a publisher, getting them out there to the public. Tell me about that process. Were you nervous? Was it easy? Tell me all about it.
It was new. The publishing for small-time, new-time authors is difficult. I did try going the regular publishing route. What was the publishing house? A friend of a friend worked for a publishing house, and they sent a manuscript to their editors, and they came back and said, hey, great story, but it's a little too, as you said at the beginning of the show, a little...
This wasn't for them.
For our readers, yeah. So go by yourself. And the publishing world are full of sharks who will take your money and not perform. You give a manuscript and you hope you get a book back, and you don't. So It's a trial and error thing. I felt pretty fortunate the first time. The first book went through Meinster Media. They're based out of New Hampshire. They did pretty good. But then I found, again, through the gentleman who does local book signings, he found an outfit in Rhode Island, Stillwater Press, and they are a mom-and-pop shop. They are easy to communicate with, did an outstanding job in the second book. So it takes a little bit of time as a first-time author and not knowing the writing world what to do, but they were very – Stillwater Press did a very good job. And also I got to give a shout-out to Julie Sarkowski, who's my editor. She did the editing for free. She is a – adjunct professor at UConn in journalism. She gave me a lot of great advice. So that was kind of my inside source to not make too many mistakes.
I have a question from Kevin in Bristol, and because we're really low on time, I think this will be the last question of the show. He wants to know if you autograph copies of the books.
At book signings, I do. I do have an author Facebook page, my full name, Mark Andrew Kelly. For any book signings going on, we'll advertise them on there. I have not yet, like, you know, got an order and then resend it out. I haven't done that, but if he's local and he wants to reach out to me, the website does have my Gmail address on there, and you can certainly get together. I'd be happy to do that.
Kevin in Bristol, I hope you got your answer there. So the answer is yes, with an asterisk. All right, Kevin, Mark, I've really appreciated having you on the show this afternoon on Spotlight Connecticut, and I'd love to talk with you more about policing, about your book, and maybe if there's ever a third, maybe we could do this again, I don't know. Just run through your information real quick for everybody listening, your website, where people can buy the books, all of that.
Again, the website is acopstory.com, acopstory.com. I'm on Facebook, my author page, on my full name, Mark Andrew Kelly, and you can buy the book through Amazon, Barnes & Noble, IndieBound, and Books A Million. If you type my full name in there, Mark Andrew Kelly, the books will come up.
Mark, thanks for coming on the show this afternoon. I appreciate it. I really do.
And hey, thank you very much for making the call and finding me.
Absolutely. I hunted him down. I do that with all of my guests, including a guy next week who's going to come on the show to recall a political satire music record that made the top 10 Billboard charts to make fun of the 1972 political conventions. And I thought that it was timely because, well, we're going through lots of politics this year, aren't we? And the Democratic convention's coming up soon. So that's the show next weekend on Saturday. I'm Morgan Cunningham on WTIC. Bye-bye.
Spotlight Connecticut with Morgan Cunningham. Embracing what's fun with Connecticut on WTIC News Talk 1080.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees.
My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab.
We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.